Hello and welcome to Exploring the Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier and done into English by the Countess of Pembroke Mary Sidney. We're currently producing a full cast audio production of this play as chosen by our wonderful patrons. You can choose future work by joining us on patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. This exploration is based on a series of one-to-one conversations with readers as I try to get to grips with this play. It's fair to say that we get many things wrong in a first read, and we dive down roads which we will not take. But also we find things that are really interesting, and you get to be here for the journey. In this episode, we're looking at Act 2, or at least specifically Act 2 from Cleopatra's scene and the chorus. See the last episode for the reframing of Acts 1 and 2. This isn't a full exposition of the text. If you want a more considered look, come back in a few months for the spoilers episodes, where I will go through a rough cut of the final version in excessive detail. First up, we look at Cleopatra with exploring regular Liz Cole and her very Egyptian cats. There's a lot of speechifying, but we will look at her interlocutors next. I myself am Robert Crichton Still. We are starting in Act 2. This is the tragedy of Antony. For today, it's the tragedy of Cleopatra. I mean, frankly, in terms of naming it, it was a toss-up because, frankly, they're about even split in terms of, I think, the number of lines they say. And Cleopatra does last longer than Antony. You open the second act with a lengthy exposition on Antony.
She says she's chuntering mostly to herself and to whoever's listening, like the handmaidens.
Yes, you've got a couple of handmaidens nearby, and they're one after the other going to attempt to, I say, reason with you. Let's see how solid their arguments are when we reach them. Okay. So give us a crack. For the listeners at home, in the background you can hear some cats.
Of course, Egyptian cats.
Egyptian cats, they are.
That I have thee betrayed, dear Antony. My life, my soul, my son. Had I such thought? That I had betrayed my lord, my king? That I would break my vowed faith to thee? I have thee, deceive thee, yield thee to the rage of mighty foe. Had I ever that heart? Rather sharp lightning upon my head. Rather I made to deepest mischief fall. Rather the opened earth devour me. Rather fierce tigers feed them on my flesh. Rather let our Nilus send to swallow me quick some weeping crocodile.
So just pause there at the end of that first stanza. I think you'd rather do some pretty extreme things than break your vowed faith to Antony. I think, you know, you've spent, what, 10 lines or more? It's that rhetorical thing of this constant, rather I would do this, rather I would do that, rather
yes.
I would do that.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Yeah, you'd rather be eaten by a crocodile, which I think is rather fun. I say fun, I'm sure being eaten by a
crocodile.
Well, I'm sure it's very sad. But they're crocodile tears. How do you know if it means
it? You're saying as it chomps through, this hurts me more than it hurts you, yes.
So, I mean, the question is how extreme the performance of this should be. And that's an interesting question. Anyway, let us continue. Only about a third of the way through.
And didst thou then suppose my royal heart had hatched thee to ensnare a faithless love? And changing mind as fortune changed cheer, I would weak thee to win the stronger loose. O wretch, O caitiff, O too cruel hap! And did I not sufficient loss sustain, loosing my realm, loosing my limited liberty, my tender of spring, and the joyful light of beamy sun, and yet, loosing more thee, Antony, my care, if I loose not, what yet remains? My love, alas, thy love, more dear than sceptre, children, freedom, light. So ready I now to row to Charon's, it's Charon, isn't it?
I think it's hard to see, yes. Charon's barge.
Okay.
Charon sounds like it would be.
So ready I to row in Charon's barge, shall lease the joy of dying in thy love. So the sole comfort of my misery to have one tomb with thee is me bereft. So I in shady plains shall plain alone, not, as I hoped, companion of thy moan. Oh, height of grief!
Why, with continual cries, your grieful harms do you exasperate? Which is probably what all the audiences are seeing at the time, isn't it? I mean, this is the thing, is the handmaidens do seem to be the voices of reason, while you're...
Yes.
Off in the pits of despair.
I love a bit.
It's, a, you know, little bits of wordplay. So I and Shady Plain shall plain alone, so complain, trimmed down. But yeah, it's a good opening. It's not too long. You don't go on ridiculous lengths, to be fair.
Just long enough to...
Just long enough.
Let everybody have it, yeah.
Right, oh, so this is... Eris?
I don't think it really matters. It probably comes from which... Whether you come from Upper Egypt or Lower Egypt, you might get a difference, like the difference between Norfolk and Suffolk.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a question I should at some point answer. That said, I don't know if anyone actually ever mentions her name, but we'll probably add that into the audio. Anyway, I'll do your lead-in, because this is a bit of a back and forth.
Okay.
Tom, why with continual cries your grieful harms do you exasperate? Torment yourself with murdering complaints? Strain your weak breast so oft, so vehemently? Water with tears this fair alabaster... With sorrow's sting, so many beauties wound. Come, of so many kings, want you the heart bravely, stoutly, this tempest to resist?
My evils are wholly unsupportable. No human force can them withstand but death.
To him that strives, naught is impossible.
In striving lies no hope of my mishaps.
All things do yield to force of lovely face.
My face, too lovely, caused my wretched case. My face hath so entrapped, so cast us down, that for his conquest Caesar may it thank, causing that Antony one army lost, the other wholly did to Caesar yield. For, not enduring, so his amorous sprite was with my beauty fired, my shameful flight, as soon as he saw from rank wherein he stood in hottest fight, my galley's making sail, forgetful of his charge, as if his soul unto his lady's soul had been enchained, he left his men, who so courageously did leave their lives to gain him victory. And careless of both fame and army's loss, my oared galleys followed with his ships, companion of my flight, by this base part, blasting his former flourishing renown.
Are you therefore cause of his overthrow?
I am sole cause. I did it. Only I.
Fear of a woman troubled, so his sprite.
Fire of his love was by my fear inflamed.
And should he then to war have led a queen?
Alas, this was not his offence, but mine. Antony, ay me, who else so brave a chief? Would not I have taken seas with him, but would have left me fearful woman far from common hazard of the doubtful war? Oh, that I had believed! Now of Rome, all the great empire at our beck should bend, all should obey, the vagabonding scythes, the feared Germans, back-shooting Parthians, wandering Numidians, Britain far removed, and tawny nations scorched with the sun. But I cared not. So was my soul possessed, to my great harm, with burning jealousy, fearing least in my absence Antony should, leaving me, retake Octavia.
Okay, this is where we really start hitting the non-woke elements of this. So it's the thing is that you are framing... You are the reason for Antony, the great Antony's fall. And it's a very familiar trope that we get a lot.
Of course it is.
And you're explaining back plot quite helpfully, because I don't know actually how clearly defined in the earlier speeches. I think it had been. I think Antony did expound on, you know, at Actium, you flee the the waters, and he follows. Now, in history, of course, it was a perfectly reasonable act. You know, you saw which way the wind was blowing, you got the hell out of Dodge. There was nothing more to be gained with your presence, and so he did the same. But it's this idea that he was lost his wits and followed you, and his love for you destroyed him.
Yes, she's so modest, isn't she?
Well, it's also your handmaidens who are just constantly, obviously, building this thing of, you know, all things do yield to force of lovely face. I mean, that's basically been the... They're saying that's what you've controlled everyone with, is with your beautiful face. Is that's your power base. And that's sort of... Wow. I mean, there's a psychological logic to that, because, of course, they're trying to build you up at your lowest despair. So, you know, they're plucking at really lowest common denominators just to try and pull you up. And, of course, your fears are all about, oh, Anthony, he might leave me, he might go back to his wife, and all these other things. Anyway, let us move forward. So now a different handmaiden jumps in. So this is Charmian, and she's going to try and change your mind. So you've just done, in your absence, Anthony should leave me, retake Octavia. That's your current fear. And Charmian, such was the rigour of your destiny.
Such was my error and obstinacy.
But since gods would not, could you do withal?
Always from gods, good haps, not harms, do fall.
And have they not all power on earth, on men's affairs?
They never bow so low as worldly cares, but leave to mortal men to be disposed, freely on earth whatever mortal is. If we therein sometimes faults commit, we may them not to their high majesties, but to ourselves impute, whose passions plunge us each day in all afflictions. Wherewith, when our soulless do thorned feel, flattering ourselves, we say their destinies are. That gods would have it so, and that our care should not impeach, but it must be so.
Was there a random E in that souls, four lines up from the bottom of that bit, wherewith when we are souls?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll make a note.
Souls. When we soulless through thorned field.
Yeah, it's just souls, so that's right. That's my bad.
It's probably the way it was spelt.
It might be a mixture of the two. I might have accidentally expanded it to soulless rather than take the E out and make it just souls. These things happen. This is what the other reason why we do this is I can figure out all typos that are there. I slightly lost track of what your argument there was.
Yes, it's a little obscure, isn't it? I think she's saying that the gods. It isn't the gods that it's we're too unimportant to bother them.
Mm. So it's that question about destinies. And control of your affairs, that seems to be a running theme. I will give you... That's quite a long speech, looking at Charmian's big speech here. I've looked at this separately, so I'll just go from the latter end of that, because I don't think you need to hear all of that. It's about destiny, it's about Troy as an example of a city that was doomed, and that we're not in control of our destiny, I think. You know, the gods do that. You know, you've got to keep trying regardless, kind of thing. I might be getting it very wrong. I'll just do the last paragraph.
Well, she's putting a counter argument to the fact that Cleopatra says the gods can't be bothered with us.
Yeah, we're down. Then, madam, help yourself. Leave off in time Antony's rack, lest it your rack procure. Retire you from him. Save from wrathful rage of angry Caesar both your realm and you. You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief. You see him ruined, so as your support no more henceforth can him with purpose raise. Withdraw you from the storm, persist not still to lose yourself, ditch him. This royal diadem regain of Caesar.
Sooner shining light shall leave the day and darkness leave the night. Sooner moist currents of tempestuous seas shall wave in heaven, and the nightly troops of stars shall sign within the foaming waves, when I, thee, Antony, leave thee in deep distress. I am with thee, be it thy worthy soul lodge in my breast. Oh, it's in thy breast, sorry. My worthy soul, lodge in thy breast, or that lodging part crossing the joyless lake to take her place, in place prepared for men, demigods. Live, if thee please. If life be loathsome, die. Dead and alive, Antony, thou shalt see thy princess follow thee, follow and lament thy rack, no less her own than was thy will.
What helps this rack, this everlasting love?
Help, or help not, such must, such ought I prove.
I'll ill done to lose yourself, and to no end.
How ill, think you, to follow such a friend?
But this your love naught mitigates his pain.
Without his love I should be inhumane.
Inhumane he who his own death pursues.
Not inhumane who miseries eschews.
Live for your sons.
Nay, for their father die.
Hard-hearted mother.
Wife kind-hearted I.
Then will you deprive of royal right?
Do I deprive them? No, it's destiny's might.
Do you not them deprive of heritage that give them up for adversaries' hands? A man forsaken, fearing to forsake, whom such huge numbers hold environed? Abandoned one against whom the frowning world, banded with Caesar, makes conspiring war? And just before you leap into that, let's just go through that. So they're throwing all
back
these things
forth,
at you.
Yeah.
Do the politically necessary thing. You might survive, your children might survive, but no, you definitely want to wield.
She's just blinkered, isn't she?
She's going to stick with Antony,
yeah,
no matter what. And I suspect you may now tell us at great length.
The less ought I to leave him left of all, a friend in most distress should most assist. If that when Antony, great and glorious, his legions led to drink Euphrates streams, and so many kings in train redoubting him, in triumph raised as high as heaven, highest heaven, lord-like disposing as him is best, the wealth of Greece, the wealth of Asia, in that fair fortune had I him exchanged. For Caesar, then, men would have counted me faithless, unconstant, light. But now the storm and blustering tempest driving on his face, ready to drown. Alas, what would they say? What would himself in Pluto's mansion say? If I, whom always more than life he loved, if I, who am his heart, who was his hope, leave him, forsake him, and perhaps in vain, weakly, to please him who hath overthrown. Not light, unconstant, faithful should I be, but vile, forsworn of treacherous cruelty.
Cruelty to shun, you self-cruel are.
Self-cruel cruel him to cruelty to spare.
Our first affection to ourself is due.
He is myself.
Next it extends, and I didn't even listen to your response there, I just carried straight in. Next it extends unto our children, friends, and to our country soil, and you, for some respect of wifely love, or be scarce wifely, lose your native land, your children, friends, and, which is more, your life. With so strong charms doth love bewitch our wits, so fast in us this fire once kindled flames. Yet if his harm by yours redress might have...
With mine it may be closed in darksome grave.
And she then goes on at quite length. Then let your love be like the love of old. Build him a massive tomb and honour his memory, because he's going to die. There's nothing you can do about that. But you can live on and remember him, which is what that speech basically says. Honour his memory with doubled care. Breed and bring up the children of you both in Caesar's grace, who as a noble prince will leave them lords of this most glorious realm.
What shame were that? Ah, gods, what infamy! With Antony and his good haps to share, and overlive him dead, deeming enough to shed some tears on a widow's tomb? The afterlivers justly might report that I him only for his empire loved, and high estate, and in that hard estate I, for another, did him lewdly leave, like to those birds wafted with wandering wings, from foreign lands in springtime here arrive, and live with us so long as summer's heat, and their food lasts, and then seek another soil. And, as we see with ceaseless fluttering, flocking of sealy flies, a brownish cloud, the vintage wine yet working in the tun, not parting hence while they sweet liquor taste, after a smoke all vanish in the air, and of the swarm not one so much appear.
By this sharp death what profit can you win?
I neither gain nor profit seek therein.
What praise shall you of after ages get?
Nor praise nor glory in my cares are set.
What other end ought you respect than this?
My only end, my only duty is.
Your duty must be upon, your duty must upon some good be founded.
On virtue it, the only good, is grounded.
What is that virtue?
That which us beseems.
Outrage ourselves who that beseeming deems.
Finish, I will, my sorrows dying thus.
Minish, you will, your glories doing thus.
Good friends, I pray you seek not to revoke my fixed intent of following Antony. I will die. I will die. Must not his life and death by mine be followed? Meanwhile, dear sisters, live. And while you live, do offer honour to our loved tombs. Draw them with, straw them with, it'd be strew, wouldn't
strew,
it?
Strew, yes. Have you got a different spelling? Okay, I've got strew here, so.
I suppose it would still work, but it.
Yeah, no, it's strew, yes. Yeah.
Strew them with flowers, and sometimes, haply, the tender thought of Antony, your lord, and me, poor soul, to tears, shall you invite, and our true loves, your doleful voice command.
Sigh. And thank you, madam, we from you will part. I do like that. It's the straightforwardness. I will die, and you say it twice.
Yes.
You know, there's no doubt where this story is going. You're absolutely determined. There's no point fighting it anymore. We'll just do a little bit of complaining about the fact. And thank you, madam, actually, this is almost a rebuke from Charmian here, because she's going, you're saying, I'm going to die, off you go.
Yeah.
And we just go, and think you, madam, we from you will part. Think you alone to feel death's ugly dart. Think you to leave us, and that same sun shall see at once you dead and us alive. We will die with you, and Clotho pitiless shall us with you in hellish boat embark.
Ah, live, I pray you, this disastered woe which racks my heart alone to me belongs. My lot belongs not to you, servants to be. No shame, no harm to you, as is to me. Live, sisters, live, and seeing his suspect hath causeless in me in sea of sorrows drowned, and that I cannot live, if so I would, nor yet would leave this life, if so I could, without his love. Procure me, Diomed, what gainst poor me, he no more be incensed. Rest out of his conceit that harmful doubt, that since his wrack he hath of me conceived. Through wrong conceived, witness you reverent gods, barking Anubis, Apis bellowing, tell him my soul burning, impatient, forlorn with love of him, for certain seal of her true loyalty, my corpse hath left. 10 crease of dead, the number never less. Go then, and if as yet he me bewail, yet for me his heart one sigh forth breathe. Blessed I shall be, and far with more content depart this world, where so I meet torment. Mean season, let us this sad tomb enclose, attending here till death conclude our woes.
And it's this thing, that last speech has all been aimed at Diomed, or Diomede. Diomede? It would be Diomede, wouldn't it? Because the finally all be stressed.
Yes, it usually is an S on the end, isn't it?
Yeah. Without
Diomedes, it runs better, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. Without his love, procure me, Diomed. Without his love. Oh, that said, it doesn't really work in the scanning.
No.
Without his love, procure me, Diomed. It would be Diomed, according to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think... Oh, God. I really hate this about pronunciation of things. It's always frustration. Anyway, I will obey your will.
So the desert the gods repay of thy truth faithful heart.
So you say you've suddenly talked to Diomed, Diomede,
mm-hmm.
however we decide to pronounce that. Answers on the postcard if you're listening at home. you might hear this before I actually record the proper version. So yes, you suddenly turn to someone who's just been standing in the background and has had nothing to do with the rest of the conversation. I might make this one of the other characters, either Charmian or etc., just so that the listener at home is just going to go, who the hell's this? They've not said a bloody word. But I haven't decided yet, so I may change my mind on that. But I'm just going to pause. Any additional thoughts about Cleopatra and this little... It's flowed actually quite well, I have to say. She didn't oversell her grief particularly. There wasn't so much woe is me. There was an argument, I felt.
Yeah, she was just determined to give them good reason for why she has to go.
Yeah.
Regardless of children, this, that, and the
yes.
other responsibilities she's leaving.
Mm. Yes, because she is very, very clear. And she gives, you know, cogent reasons. I don't think they're desperately good reasons, but, you know... Well, actually, I think they probably are. I've not been in a situation where an army is surrounding me, potentially going to kill me. Maybe it's more plausible my children will survive if I'm dead. But who knows?
And now we look at the dialogue of the person she's talking to, Charmian. This was a rehearsal session with the actor who is playing the role, Lee MacDonald, though it was the first time she got to see the text.
Getting our first impressions of Charmian. She's in two scenes, mostly there as counterpoint, I think, for Cleopatra, but you are allowed to tell me that I'm wrong.
I'm allowed to, okay. So they're obviously quite close in their way.
Yeah, but there's a question of status. I'll give you the feed into where we are on page 14.
Okay.
Give you a sense of what's going on, because there's been about two pages of Cleopatra going, oh, wretch, oh, caitiff, oh, too cruel hap,
okay.
and did I not sufficient loss sustain? It's very florid.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that.
Okay, so I'm basically, my job is to calm her down. And am I...
And talk around. And
we'll, talk around.
We'll get into the argument of what precisely you're talking about as we go through
okay.
it.
Okay.
And if that helps.
Yeah, all right.
And just leaping straight in and finding out. I'll give you the four lines prior to that first gambit, so you get a sense. I am, for the moment, Cleopatra. The part I was born to play.
Such good casting. Marvellous.
But I cared not, so was my soul possessed, my great harm with burning jealousy, fearing lest in my absence Antony should, leaving me, retake Octavia.
Such was the rigour of your destiny.
Such was my error and obstinacy.
But since gods would not, could you do withal?
Always from gods good haps, not harms do fall.
And have they not all power on men's affairs?
They never bow so low as worldly cares, but leave to mortal men to be disposed freely on earth, whatever mortal is. If we therein sometimes some faults commit, we may them not to their high majesties, but to ourselves impute, whose passions plunge us each day in all afflictions, wherewith, when we our souls do thorned feel, flattering ourselves, we say they destinies are, that gods would have it so, and that our care could not impeach, but that it must be so.
Things here below are in the heavens begot, before they be in this our world born. And never can our weakness turn awry the sailless course of powerful destiny. Sailless course of powerful destiny. Naught here force, reason, human providence, holy devotion, noble blood prevails. And Jove himself, whose hand doth heavens rule, who both to gods and men as king commands, who earth, our firm support with plenty stores, moves air and sea with twinkling of his eye, who all can do
Do.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, dying.
No, there's a few of things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Who all can do, yet never can undo what once hath been by their hard laws decreed. When Trojan. Sorry.
Is it down as an I or
a Y?
Yeah, it's a J.
Sorry.
That's right. That's okay.
Trojan.
There'll be little typos like that.
Okay. When Trojan walls, great Neptune's workmanship, environed were with Greeks, and fortune's wheel, doubtful 10 years now, to the camp did turn. Not sure what I mean there.
Okay, so you're going into example mode.
Okay. Ah, okay. When Trojan...
So,
yes.
So going back to Troy as the example of when they were besieged.
Neptune's workmanship. Environed were with Greeks, and fortune's wheel, doubtful 10 years now, to the camp did turn. Okay. And now again towards the town returned. How many times did force and fury swell in Hector's veins, egging him to the spoil of conquered foes, which at his blows did fly, as fearful sheep at feared wolves approach, to save in vain, for why? It would not be. Poor walls of Troy from adversary's rage, who dyed them in blood and cast to ground, heaped them with bloody burning carcasses. No, madam, think...
Just pause there for a second.
Right, nine.
Okay. Did four lines up from where we got to the no to save in vain? How have you got that punctuated?
I've got in vain dot dot colon. In vain. No, in vain. Dot dot. For why? Question mark. It would not be.
Yeah, it's interesting. In my edition, we've got some brackets.
I've got brackets. Sorry, yeah, sorry. I beg your pardon. Yeah, I've got brackets. Look, there we are.
Ah, excellent. So in that vain. It is that within the brackets, it's sort of like it's you go off in this little side tangent.
Okay, got you.
Which you did.
Okay, but I need to do slightly more then.
Possibly a little bit more. Because it is quite big.
For why? It would not be. Poor walls. Yes, okay. Yeah, okay.
But it's interesting that your character seems to be very good at dancing around argument.
Ah,
or there's a bit of pressure on, so you're going. You've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah,
pull it back again.
Okay.
I'm positing thoughts.
I'm very very helpful, my darling.
Because that's the thing, is that if Cleopatra is arguing there is no such thing as destiny, I've just fucked everything up.
Yep.
And you're arguing the opposite, which is no, this was if this is destiny, there is nothing we can do. You have done nothing wrong, my queen.
Yep.
It is the misfortune of the world, and she's going, no, hang on, I was in charge of the armies and the boats. all the boats that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, my boats went wrong.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's after the Battle of Actium.
Right.
You're there with the fleet, with Mark Antony, and you look at the battle and you go, right, this is going badly. I'm getting off.
Yeah.
And Antony, this is the story. This isn't what actually happened. Antony, seeing you leaving the field with the sea, followed you, and that's why the battle ends.
Okay.
So that's the story that is told. The reason you actually left the Battle of Actium was it was a militarily logical thing to do.
Yes.
It was all going tits up, and you were trying to save what forces you had.
Yes.
There's nothing actually wrong with it, but history has said this slander that, you know, you left and Mark Antony was so much in love with you that he had to follow you, and he lost all sense and all reason.
Right.
So here you're blaming yourself because, you know, the city is surrounded by people who want you. You're dead.
Okay.
And that's why you're talking about Troy.
Right, okay.
You're talking about Troy because that's another besieged city.
Okay.
Got you. In your mind, you're talking about when you're saying things... how many times did force and fury swell? How many times did they attack? 10 years passed. It's not a desperately good argument, actually, because the Trojans lost.
She's grasping the straws a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, but we still haven't finished the argument. You're only halfway through.
I'm halfway through. I'm in the middle of it.
So maybe you're clutching at straws. Maybe, you know, there's a panic to this.
Okay.
Maybe there isn't. I don't know. We'll find the emotion when we've got the sense, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, madam, think that if the ancient crown of your...
Progenitors.
Progenitors.
The people before.
Ah, thank you. People before. Okay. No, madam, think that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nilus ruled...
Nilus.
That Nilus ruled, force take from you... No, madam, think that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nilus ruled, force take from you... The gods have willed it so. To whom oft-time princes are odious. To whom oft-times princes are odious. They have to everything an end ordained. All worldly greatness by them bounded is. Some sooner, later some, as they think best. None their decree is able to infringe. But which is more to us disastered men...
I like the word disastrous.
Disastrous.
It's a weird word.
It's a new one, isn't it?
I wouldn't be.
Well, I'm going to use it, and if somebody says that's not a word, I'm going to say yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Disastrous means it's a disaster.
Yes. The poor, unfortunate, terribly unfortunate, awful things happening to the men.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got more to say.
Yeah, okay. But which is more, to us disastered men, which subject are in all things to their will is hid. Nor while we live, we know how or how long we must in life remain. Yet must we not for that feed on despair, and make us wretched ere we wretched be, but always hope the best, even to the last, that from ourselves the mischief may not grow. Then, madam, help yourself. Leave of in time Antony's rack, lest it your rack procure. Retire you from him, save from wrathful rage of angry Caesar both your realm and you. You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief. You see him ruined, so as your support no more henceforth can him with comfort raise. Withdraw you from the storm. Persist not still to lose yourself. This royal diadem regain of Caesar.
And you know what? I think if we were staging this play, what you're doing is you're grabbing her.
Come on now!
Just going...
Just for
pulling
sake! Her, you know, yes, you know, yes.
Pull yourself together.
Yes.
She's spent the last, you know, two pages... 200 lines, pretty much just going, woe is me, woe is me.
Yeah.
And you built, and it's interesting, in that second half, how many times you start a
then,
sequence.
Madam.
Yeah, so no, madam, think.
Yeah.
But then, it's these constantly just these things. It's like you're just, she's turned away from you, and you turn
and
her
I've got,
around
yes,
again.
Come on, yes. Then, madam, help yourself. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, she's off, you know, is she listening, is she not? Could we go back to the beginning of that?
Yes, let's go back. Tell me what lines I'm not making sense on.
It's coming across, I mean, you're working your way through...
Yeah, the first bit I really wasn't sure about.
No,
this bit I am, that bit not.
And that's why I want to go back.
Yeah,
so
okay.
To sort of get a sense
okay,
of it,
let's get
I don't know either. So this is...
Okay, that's good to know.
We're learning together, and I'm not worried about whether we know the answers.
Okay, all right.
As long as it sounds good.
But
we'll find an answer. Now we know where it's going.
Yeah.
I think it'll be easier. Let me give you four lines into that,
okay,
so you get a bit of a run-up. So it's all about destiny, wherewith when we our souls do.
Where do you want to go?
No. We'll do that. We'll do that a little back and forth.
Okay, darling.
Well. But I cared not, so was my soul possessed to my great harm with burning jealousy. Oh, Antony and his wife. He's married over in Rome. How dare he? Mm. Fearing lest in my absence Antony should, leaving me, retake Octavia.
Such was the rigour of your destiny.
Such was my error and obstinacy.
But since gods would not, could you do withal?
Always from gods, good haps, not harms, do fall.
And have they not all power on men's affairs?
Never bow so low as worldly cares, but leave to mortal men to be disposed freely on earth, whatever mortal is. If we therein sometimes some faults commit, we may them not to their high majesties, but to ourselves impute, whose passions plunge us every day in all affections, wherewith, when we our souls do thorned feel, flattering ourselves, say, we say they destinies are, but gods would have it so, and that our care could not impeach, but that it must be so.
Things here below are in the heavens begot, before they be in this our world born. And never can our weakness turn awry the... I want to get this word right, sorry. The, say less...
I don't know. This, I think it could be just sailors. I think it's
all right. The, sailless.
Yeah, because it's the sailors' court. Sailless okay, court.
Sailless
There's
court.
Nothing
okay.
giving you any direction.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, and never can our weakness turn awry the sailless course of powerful destiny.
Convince me.
Yes, naught here force, reason, human providence, holy devotion, noble blood prevails. And Jove himself, whose hand doth heavens rule, who both to gods and men as king commands, who earth, our firm support, with plenty stores, moves air and sea with twinkling of his eye, who all can do, yet never can undo, what once hath been by their hard laws decreed. When Trojan walls, great Neptune's workmanship, environed were... When Trojan's walls, great Neptune's workmanship, environed were with Greeks, and fortune's wheel, doubtful 10 years now, to the camp did turn, and now again towards the town returned. I'm not making sense of that bit.
Yet you're...
I need to...
I think it's partly because you went into it with the same energy from the
okay,
previous
I need
bit.
To cut. Yes, I need
the
to change my tack.
Bit
yeah.
needed that level of pace.
Okay, now I need
and that
to. Yes.
I liked
okay.
Because it was all. It's all about destiny.
Yes.
And so you could get through it like that. I think with this, because you're talking
walls.
About.
Yes.
The Trojan's wall. The Trojan walls, you know, built by Neptune, in, surrounded by Greeks.
Fortune's
wheel. Doubtful 10 years. Now to the camp did turn. I think that's.
Doubtful now, doubtful 10 years now to the camp
no,
did turn.
No, I
turn.
Think it's doubtful 10 years.
Oh, sorry,
now,
doubtful
so
10 years.
So fortune's wheel.
And fortune's wheel.
You know, confused for 10 years.
Doubtful 10 years
now
to the,
camp did turn.
Right,
so
and
that,
fortune's
you know,
wheel, doubtful 10 years now to the camp did turn.
Yeah, I think it may not be that level of stress.
Okay,
it, I
and
think
doubtful 10 years now to the camp did turn. And now again towards the town returned.
So it's the fortune's wheel constantly going back and yep. forth for 10 years, and it can't make his mind up because it's fortune's wheel.
Okay, and now again towards the town returned. How many did force and fury swell in Hector's veins, egging him to the spoil of conquered foes, which at his blows did fly as fearful sheep as feared wolves approach, to save... in vain, for why it would not be, poor walls of Troy from adversaries' rage, who dyed them in blood and cast to ground, heaped them with bloody burning carcasses.
Yes.
No,
so,
madam.
Nice.
Yes.
And it's that thing of it, and bloody burning carcasses, you know, it's that thing of, you know, it didn't matter what he did.
Yeah.
It's all going
that's,
to end.
Yes. That's death, how it's going to end. Death. Yes.
Let's
no,
just check
madam.
The scansion on one. So,
okay.
Poor walls of Troy from adversaries' rage. Poor walls of Troy from adversaries. No, I think it's got to be adversaries. Rage.
Adversary. What was that? What did I say?
I think you did have adversary.
Oh, sorry.
Adversaries. Yeah, I think just checking the scansion.
Adversaries.
Yeah, I think poor walls.
Poor walls of Troy from adversaries' range.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the way it goes.
Adversaries.
Adversaries. I don't always try and gatekeep. Certain pronunciation.
No, no, no. I'm
where
very.
The stress
yeah, okay.
Wants to live.
Adversaries' rage. Adversaries' rage. No, madam. Think that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nihilus ruled force take from you, the gods have willed it so. Too oft times princes are odious.
Do you have a whom there? To whom oft times?
Oh, sorry. To whom of why did I miss that? Yeah. The gods have willed it so. To whom oft times princes are odious. Yeah, okay. No, madam, think that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nihilus ruled force take from you, the gods have willed it so, to whom oft times princes are odious. Shall I carry on?
Yes, yes, no, I think you're... I'm happy for you to go
to try stuff off. Yeah, okay.
It's a tricky one because that tail end of that fourth line is... It's not as neat... as I think it wants to be.
Yeah, because I'd like to force take from the gods have willed it so.
The gods sometimes don't like your the rightful princes of the things. So it's a tricky one. I think where you stressed it was right. But you've got to head for odious as a full stop. I think it's those four lines are a unit. I don't think that runs on into the next one.
Okay. Yes, okay, odious. No, madam, think that if the ancient crown of your progenitors that Nihilus ruled force take from you, the gods have willed it so, to whom oft times princes are odious, to have everything an end ordained. All worldly greatness by them bounded is, some sooner, later some, as they think best. None their decree is able to infringe. But which is more to us disastered men, which subject or in all things to their will is hid. Not while we live, we know how or how long we must in life remain. Yet we must not for that feed on despair, and make us wretched ere we wretched be, but always hope the best, even to the last, that from ourselves the mischief may not grow.
It's interesting, you're asking a really difficult thing here, because what you're saying is we're doomed.
Yeah, we are.
We still have to hope for the best.
Yes, we do. But if we're wrapped up in wretchedness, then we're going to be wretched and fucked anyway.
Yeah, so
but we've got to be hopeful.
We have to be hopeful.
Because hope is everything.
The gods are on our side, and that there will be a miracle.
There's got to be hope.
Yeah, but, you know, there's nothing we can... It's a really weird thought. And I think, you know, it's... Again, it's thinking of that reaction of the person you can't see in this context,
yes,
with the but and the yet and the thing and the how. I mean, it's that one line, how or how long we must in life remain. Yeah, that is wrong. Much further, none their decree is able to infringe, you know, it's a very thing. But I'm going to go in another direction.
Yeah, which is more. It's all shit, but we must have hope.
Yes, absolutely. So it does keep changing direction, because there is an element that I think your argument is slightly having your cake and eating it.
Yes. Yes.
But it is that thing that you are thinking on your feet.
Well, I'm trying desperately to help her, aren't I?
Yeah, or at least just get her off the floor.
Yeah, because she is indulging a huge amount.
Oh, massively.
So she's trying to, come on, love. Basically, the subtext is, pull yourself up, love. Come on. We're all going to die, but let's just smile.
Yeah. Be an Egyptian.
Yes. Then, madam, help yourself. Leave of in time Antony's rack, lest it your rack procure. Retire you from him. Save from wrathful.
I prefer wrathful.
Wrathful.
I think wrathful's too weak. It might technically actually be a more early modern pronunciation, but I think it just sounds wrong.
Save from wrathful rage of angry Caesar, both your realm and you. You see him lost, so as your amity. What does that mean? You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief.
I was right. Goodwill, basically.
Goodwill.
Good, you know, your
You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief. You see him ruined, so as your support no more henceforth can him with comfort raise. Withdraw you from the storm, persist not still to lose yourself. This royal diadem regain of Caesar.
Now, I think that last sequence, you see him lost, I think you can just pull it back. You need the intensity still.
You see him lost, so as your amity unto his evils can yield no more relief. You see him ruined, so as your support no more henceforth can him with comfort raise. Withdraw you from the storm. Persist not still to lose yourself. This royal diadem regain of Caesar.
And I think you can even hold on. This royal diadem, you know, take it back.
Right, okay, yes, okay. Right.
And that you can put additional pauses in there.
But you don't want me to be too on with regards to you see him lost. You don't want me to too much on that.
No, I don't think, no.
Okay.
I think that was right. That was the right pacing for that. I think it's just that. I think the problem with this royal diadem regain of Caesar is it's if you go into it too quickly,
yeah,
we lose the sense because it's not quite a proper sentence.
Right, yes, yes,
it,
okay.
It should be "Regain of Caesar this royal diadem" to work as a modern sentence.
Right, okay.
You know, it's that thing, it's poetry, so therefore it's backwards.
Right, of course it is. Of course it is. Yes, of course it is.
Okay, Cleopatra, however, she's not going to stop. So, sooner shining light shall leave the day and darkness leave the night. Sooner moist currents of tempestuous seas shall wave in heaven and the nightly troops of stars shall shine within the foaming waves than I, thee, Antony, leave in deep distress. I am with thee, be it thy worthy soul lodge in thy breast or from that lodging part. Crossing the joyless lake to take her place in place prepared for men demigods. Live, if it please, if life be loathsome, die. Die and alive, Antony, thou shalt see thy princess follow thee, follow, and lament thy wrack no less her own than was thy weal.
Hell, she's on it.
Yeah, and...
What helps this rack, this everlasting love?
Help or help not, such must, such ought I prove.
I'll done to lose yourself and to no end.
Ill done.
Ill done to lose yourself and to no end.
How ill think you to follow such a friend?
But this your love naught mitigates his pain.
Without his love I should be inhumane.
Inhumane he who has his own... Who his own death pursues.
Not inhumane, who misery assues.
Live for your sons.
Nay, for their father die.
Hard-hearted mother.
Wife, kind-hearted I.
Then will you deprive of royal right?
I deprive them? No, it's destiny's might.
Do you not them deprive of heritage that give them up to adversaries' hands, a man forsaken fearing to forsake, a man forsaken fearing to forsake whom such huge numbers hold environed? To abandon one gainst whom the frowning world banded with Caesar makes conspiring war. Oh, that was hard.
Yeah, let's take that one because we're going into it possibly too umphy.
Do you not them deprive of heritage? That give them up to adversaries' hands, a man forsaken fearing to forsake, whom such huge numbers hold environed? To abandon one gainst whom the frowning world banded with Caesar makes conspiring war. Okay, so do I deprive them? No, it's destiny. Do you not them deprive of heritage?
So you're talking about your children.
Yeah. Yes, don't let that happen to your children.
Yeah, I'm not actually 100% certain what your thought process here is.
Do you not them deprive of heritage?
Or who precisely you're talking about?
It's destiny.
I know why you're afraid of Caesar, because he might lead you in triumph. You know, that's a straightforward issue that you'll have.
Adversaries, so giving them up to the adversaries.
Yeah, but the adversary is Caesar. That's what I'm.
To abandon one against whom the frowning world banded with Caesar.
Who's conspiring against you? Maybe that's what you're saying.
To abandon one against whom the frowning world banded with Caesar. To abandon one against. Whom the frowning world banded with Caesar.
In a sense, I'll read Cleopatra's retort in a second. That might give us a clue. But I have to say, I'm a bit lost, actually, what it is you're trying to argue. I mean, in a sense, it's straightforward. You know, you're telling her, you know, live for your sons. It's fairly straightforward.
Yes,
you know, your children need you. Stay. And you're going, no, I want to die with my... she's saying, I want to die with my lover. You know, if he dies, I'll die with him.
Yeah.
And that'll be noble. I always have a problem with people being noble.
Yes, it's a bit bollocks, that is.
It is. Don't worry, the men are just as bollocksy. It's not just you.
Not just your mistress.
It's
all a bit like that then, wasn't it?
Yeah, well... Or
being noble.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's the Mark Antony, he goes off on one just as much. It's an equal opportunities going off on one.
Bless them.
Play this. The point is, we're trying to demonstrate what is easy about it. You know, because ultimately, if someone in the future wants to do a live version, you know, finding out what the, you know, it's all very well to say, well, we've got this beautiful recording and it sounds great.
Yeah.
But it might be helpful to the next people to
know what the hell we're talking about.
So lines 323 to 29, we have no idea at the moment. That will be, you know, so that's a thing for future me when it comes to, you know, doing the introductory bits for this and using a bit of this to say, look, we're professionals. We don't know what this
means. We don't know what the fuck this she's talking about either. Yeah.
And, you know, in a production, maybe cut this bit. actually, I don't know. I think it sort of flows fine. Let's see what... I'll do Cleopatra's bit and we'll move forward rather than go over that to death.
All right, darling.
And we'll find... See if Cleopatra...
Sorts it out
clue,
for us. Yes, yes. Okay.
The less ought I to leave him, least of all... A friend in most distress should most assist. If that, when Antony, great and glorious, his legions led to drink Euphrates' streams, so many kings in train, redoubting him, in triumph raised as high as highest heaven, lordlike disposing as him pleased best the wealth of Greece, the wealth of Asia, in that fair fortune, had I him exchanged for Caesar, then men would have counted me faithless, inconstant light. But now the storm and blustering tempest, driving on his face, ready to drown. Alas, what would they say? What would himself in Pluto's mansion say, if I, whom always more than life he loved, if I, who am his heart, who was his hope, leave him, forsake him, and perhaps in vain, weakly to please, who him hath overthrown. Not light, inconstant, faithless should I be, but vile, forsworn of treacherous cruelty.
Cruelty to shun yourself cruel are. You self cruel are.
Self cruel him from cruelty to spare.
Our first affection to ourself is due.
He is myself.
Next it extends unto our children, friends, and to our country soil.
Now, I think you almost ignore Cleopatra's interjection there.
Right,
you
okay,
don't
yeah.
You obviously say it at the same time.
No.
But you haven't... You're not responding to her line.
Because
you're
I'm not... I don't believe it. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So, you know, you're... That's sort of the logic of why I don't want her to be a younger than Cleopatra.
Because she's actually thinking, for fuck's sake, come on now.
You know, wake up. Yeah. Smell the coffee. Let's go from cruelty to shun. Let's do that little exchange again.
Cruelty to shun, you self-cruel are.
Self-cruel him from cruelty to spare.
Our first affection to ourself is due.
He is myself.
Next it extends unto our children, friends, and to our country soil. And you, for some respect of wively love, wively?
It should be wifely.
Wifely. Wifely.
Yes, I've got the F here.
And you, for some respect of wifely love, Or be scarce wifely. God, she's really going for it now. Wow.
Or be scarce wifely.
Jeez.
Thrown at you, isn't
it? Wow.
You're not
she's on it. Or be scarce wifely. Lose your native land, your children, friends, and, which is more, your life. With so strong charms doth love bewitch our wits. So fast in us this fire once kindled flames. Yet if his harm by yours redress might have. I think she's getting a bit frustrated now, isn't she?
Yeah, and these little asides, I'm really liking. I mean, I'm warming to you.
Yeah, yeah. She's speaking sense.
Yes, yes. And you know,
and it's that whole thing of love bewitching our wits. God knows I've been there. Act like a dick. And then when you come out of that, it's like, oh, fuck. What was I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yet if his harm by yours redress might have.
With mine it may be closed in darksome grave.
And that, as Alceste to herself unkind, you might exempt him from the laws of death. But he is sure to die, and now his sword already moist. Moisted?
Already moisted.
Already moisted.
Yes, that's an interesting...
Already
or moistened is how it's glossed. So,
okay.
And Alceste is... Alceste is who died in place of her husband. Ah. So in classical mythology, according to the gloss here.
Thank
so,
you very much for explaining.
Yes, well, I'd love to say I knew that, but I just looked at the back of the book.
Okay, and that as Alcestor herself unkind, you might exempt him from the laws of death. But he is sure to die. And now his sword, already moistened, is in his warm blood, helpless for any succour you can bring against death's sting, which he must shortly feel.
Oh, you are harsh.
I'm getting harsh now.
He
but that's because she bloody needs it.
He is marked for death.
And you are not.
And you can get out of this. You know,
I understand why she's being like this.
Yeah, it's the thing is, this is the only way you're going to survive.
Yeah.
Is if you kowtow to Caesar. That's how you survive. Mm. If you stay with Antony, you are dead.
Yes.
And you're going to be paraded in triumph and,
yes.
You know, or worse. You know. There is a way of surviving. You're going to lose a lot, but you'll still
survive.
Be alive.
Yes, there is.
Antony, he's already dead.
He's
off. He may not physically be dead
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, but he is going dead. To be. Then let your love be like the love of old witch Carrion Queen, which Carrion Queen did
that's
nourish in her heart
in...
of her Morsellus.
Let me just have a little look at
let
Carrion,
your love be like the love
think...
of old witch Carrion.
Because it says Carrion. Because it could be Carrion.
Carrion.
Because I don't think it's like Carrion as in...
As
thing.
In,
so it's
yeah.
a, yes, it's a name of a person.
Carrion, okay.
Who had an interesting husband.
Which Carrion Queen.
Ah, so actually you literally explain who she was. So,
did nourish in her heart of her Morsellus.
So Morsellus, Morsellium. So
okay.
So it's, you're going to go into a tomb, similarly.
Yes.
Thing.
Okay.
So that's what that reference is about. No one in the audience is ever going to get that, by the way.
No.
So
no,
to some
fair
degree,
enough.
Say it with conviction and move on.
Right. Right, okay. Then let your love be like the love of old, which Carrion Queen did nourish in her heart of her Morsellus. Build for him a tomb whose stateliness a wonder new may make.
So, yes, they built a great tomb.
Fucking great tomb.
Eight tombs, so head for the tomb.
Head for
build
the big tomb.
Build for him
yeah.
a tomb.
A great big tomb.
That's the first two and a half lines there.
That's what you can do.
Yeah.
Let him have sumptuous funerals. Let grave thereon the horror of his fights. Let earth be buried with unburied heaps. Frame there Pharsaly.
The Pharsaly, yes, I think that's Pharsaly, yes. I don't think it's Thessaly, which is a different thing.
Frame there Pharsaly and discoloured streams of deep Enipius. Enipius? Enipius.
Of deep Enipius frame.
Frame there Pharsaly and discoloured streams.
I'm going to be looking
deep,
at the footnotes again in a moment. Mm. I say footnotes, the end notes on this.
Yes.
This is one of the problems of this play is you do hit these sudden clusters
yes.
of classical references.
Yes, that we have no fucker knows.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't have a bad knowledge of classical things because I'm doing lots of plays, but I have got a clue.
Fuck knows about
going.
That.
So, frame, i.e.
Frame there Pharsaly.
Site of the battle between Julius Caesar and Pompey, which
okay.
Antony commanded at. So.
Okay, so it's a place. Frame yeah. there Pharsaly and discoloured streams of deep Enipius. So I assume that's some sort of
that's
blood?
That's the river nearby. So.
Discoloured streams of deep Enipius. What the fuck is Enipius? It's deep and it's
oh,
in
it's,
a stream.
It's the river. It's the river. So
oh, I see.
So,
sorry.
So,
yes. Okay.
So
and discoloured streams of deep Enipius.
Yeah.
Frame the grassy plain which lodged his camp at siege of Mutina.
Which lodged his camp. I think it's probably Mutina.
Mutina.
I'm not going to gatekeep that too much because I genuinely don't know. I think so long as it's said with conviction, I don't think it matters.
Mutina. Okay. Make all his combats and courageous acts and yearly plays to his prage institute. Honour his memory with doubled care. Breed and bring up the children of you both in Caesar's grace, who as a noble prince will leave them lords of this most glorious realm.
So...
Wow. She's really...
Build Antony a great monument.
Make it make it fucking amazing when he's dead.
Absolutely, you're going to have festivals.
Festivals for him.
And then you really, bring up the children of you both in Caesar's
grace. Yes, we'll leave them lords.
Who will look after you if you look after him. You pass the baton basically now to...
Yes, she doesn't have another little go though,
does she? You do, but you pass the baton and they do a little back and forth, mm-hmm. and then you have a sort of parting shot before you all exit.
Okay.
So basically Cleopatra saying, I'm going to die, she's still on it. You all leave me, and this is what I really quite like, is just going, oh, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I've tried to talk you around. I've failed.
Yeah.
But we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you are loyal.
Okay,
you
know, she's sticking with her.
You could almost be affronted. I don't know. You can decide how you want to play it in a moment. But, you know, that's quite an interesting turnaround. And actually, I must get that right in terms of what the other people will do in this scene. But I think that's a really interesting thing. Because Cleopatra then finds some... sort of almost force for life following that, because she goes, oh no, live, I pray you, and you know, you're going, yeah.
No, I'll die with you, it's all right.
I'll die, we're good.
Wow.
Told you it was cheerful.
God. Deeply joyous.
We'll look at the other more cheerful things next. They are more fun. So I'll just give you the running of Cleopatra doing her...
Good
woe
friends.
Is me act.
Yes.
Strew them with flowers, and sometimes happily the tender thought of Antony, your lord, and me, poor soul, to tears shall you invite, and our true love your doleful voice commend.
Oh, sorry. And think you, madam, from you will part? Think you alone to feel death's ugly dart? Think you to leave us? And that the same sun we see at once you dead and us alive? We'll die with you. And Clothio Pitiless shall us with you in hellish boat embark. Okay, yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, I think
we'll
you've
die with
got
you.
To absolutely.
Yep. It's got to be. Okay.
Stop it.
Okay, stony. Okay.
And some comfort coming in there as well, maybe.
Die with you. And think you, madam, from you will part? Think you alone to feel death's ugly dart? Think you to leave us? And that the same sun shall see us at once, you dead and us alive? We'll die with you. We'll die with you. We'll die with you. And Clothio Pitiless shall us with you in hellish boat embark.
So that's...
We'll die with
you. How have you got... I've got Clotho.
Clotho, not Clothio. Clotho. The fuck's Clotho?
The equivalent of what's his name across the sticks. It's just the Egyptian equivalent of
Clotho. Clotho. Clotho sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Clotho. I don't think there is a Clotho. That I'm going to say is a thing.
And Clotho Pitiless shall us with you in hellish boat embark. Cheery.
Cheery. So it gets worse.
Great. But we still have hope.
We have hope. So let me probably quickest if I find where it lives, because there's other stuff happens. Mark Antony tries to kill himself, and that goes well. Then you are there when Cleopatra says goodbye to her children. They're sent off, and you don't say a lot. It's mostly Cleopatra going, woe is me again, and you're just there to... I think basically feed. You're there as a line feed.
A line
really.
Feeder. Okay.
So I don't think you say anything in the first half of the scene. It's just pretty much the children go.
Okay, darling. Okay, children, madam, adieu. We come. Following our child's exit, the children. Okay, sure. Okay. Following our child's exit, shall guide us. Okay, okay, so it's got worse. Here
yes.
we are.
Oh, yes, this is the end. This is the end. Cleopatra's going to do her big... snake charming moment.
This is the big snake bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Exit the. Oh, too cruel lot. Oh, too hard chance. Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas, if murdering dart of death arrive, while that in slumbering swooned, half dead, she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas, weep over Antony. Let not his body be without due rites entombed.
Oh.
Madam.
Ah, me.
How faint she is.
And that's going to be an absolute sob to make work. I hate a few words.
Oh, God.
Yes. I think the first bit, O true cruel lot, I think that's whispered aside.
Oh, gosh, okay, yeah, okay.
And then you go, Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus.
Oh, too cruel lot. Too hard chance. Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas, if murdering dart of death arrive, while that in slumbering swooned, half dead she lie with anguish overgone.
Have you got swoon or swooned?
Swooned.
Ah, take the ED off. I think I've got slumbering swoon here. So let's make it.
While that in slumbering swoon, half dead she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas, weep over Antony. Let not his body be without due rites entombed. Madam.
Ah, me.
How faint is she is.
Hold me up. There's no stage direction saying precisely at what point she uses the snake. So it sounds here like... I think she's just swooned because of the children going.
Okay,
I don't
yeah.
think she's actually
okay,
dying.
Okay, doing that. No, not yet.
But
okay.
You can still play it like that. I think that concern is good. Okay, Cleopatra makes a massive speech. Your co-handmaiden
yes.
gives you this cue line in.
Okay.
Alas, let us weep lest sudden death from... him our tears and those last duties take unto his tomb we owe.
Oh, let us weep while moisture lasts, then die before his feet. Oh, gosh.
Yes, it's really interesting. It's so very there's cheery. The expectation you're just going to drop dead. So I do think maybe there is a whole...
So we're all... Yeah, okay.
Some physical action that's not mentioned here.
Yes, that's...
Because the thing is, you can't be doing the... poisony stuff when the children are present. That would be weird. They get rid of the children, but there's no break anywhere that I can see. Interesting.
Okay, yes, there's yeah, you're right, there's no okay.
I don't think you've done anything to yourself yet. Let's see. Okay. Cleopatra has a little thing. She's talking about weeping. Then let the blood of from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine in mixture grow, moist it and heat it new, and never stop, all watering thee, while yet remains one drop.
Antony.
Ah, you're over the body of Antony. Ah.
Antony, take our tears. Right, yeah. Okay, right, okay. Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die.
She follows on the thought.
Before we die.
And that's it.
That's Charmian.
That's the end of the play. That's into a different play there. In that folder.
Okay.
So it's interesting that you don't get a death scene, as far as I can tell. There's no mention here as to you doing anything. You're just standing over Mark Antony's body. She's off doing a speech. She speechifies herself to death.
Right.
I think she talks herself through it. I haven't gone into in detail, and all I'm doing at the moment is demonstrating my ignorance of the play that I'm producing. You know, it's but that's why I do this. I think out loud.
Well, we're finding out together, aren't we?
Well, the thing is, there's so many options here that the edition. This is pretty much the only edition I've got.
Right.
There is another edition which I haven't as of yet managed to get a copy of.
Right.
The problem is that this isn't thinking about it as a practical piece of stagecraft of like. If Mark Antony's body is on stage, there's no mention of it in the stage directions here. So is he about? Are you standing over... It would make sense if you are standing over his now corpse, because he's been brought to the monument, and Cleopatra is planning her death, the children are got rid of. So how is the death by poison, snake poison thing... happening, and are you partaking of it? You might not. I don't know precisely whether in the actual history You actually do kill yourselves or not? I suspect you do. Because you talk about it vaguely.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, broadly speaking, just be sad.
that's great direction, that.
Yeah,
just be sad.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Be sad. I'll be sad, darling.
You know, there was a time I was a good director and I gave
darling, I really
notes.
Do you know what I mean? Let's be brutally honest. Be sad, see now. Yeah, if
just
an actor can't be sad, then they're really not the right person,
really,
are they?
No. And you know, if it doesn't sound right, I'll, you know, get you in again and we'll do another take.
Well, I mean, we can
think. But that's the thing, is that that's part of the reason why, you know, we're doing this, is to talk through it and find out how that goes.
Now, we didn't do a session on Eras, but she was covered by me a couple of times in the last two recordings. So this scene in Act 2 ends with Diomed, who is sent to Antony. I got Liz Cole once again to read this. I was hoping that I could do some cunning eliding of parts so that this dialogue could be given to the actor playing Eras. And from this reading, I thought it might work. In rehearsal with the actor Sarah Golding and the two parts back to back, it clearly didn't. So the conclusions reached here are not followed through.
Briefly change character.
Okay.
And read the Diomede. I did look online at the names and I googled them and that came up as a female name. There's
right.
a character later on who could be female, but the name came up as being mm-hmm. mostly associated with male. But it's that kind of thing that, again, I don't really care because I'll probably... Some of these peripheral characters will get conflated into one
mm-hmm.
or shifted around, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
So could you just read that long
yeah.
speech, because I want to get a sense of what the hell's going on in this person's mind, because I haven't got it yet. So your mistress has said she's going to die, everybody else is entering a suicide pact, trigger warning there, people, and let's see where it goes.
Okay. And it's not pity, gods. Ah, gods of heaven, to see from love such fateful fruits to spring. And it's not pity that this firebrand so lays waste the trophies of Philippi fields? Where are those sweet allurements, those sweet looks, which God themselves, right heartsick, would have made? What doth that beauty, rarest gift of heaven, wonder of earth? Alas, what do those eyes? And that sweet voice all Asia understood, and sunburned Afric, wide in desert spread. Is their force dead? Have they no further power? Can they not by them Octavius be surprised? Alas, if Jove in midst of all his ire, with some thunderbolt in hand, some lant plague, had cast his eyes on my queen out of hand, his plaguing bolt had fallen out of his hand. Fire of his wrath into vain smoke should turn, another fire within his breast should burn. Naught life so fair, nature by such a work herself should seem, in workmanship hath passed. She is all heavenly. Never any man, but seeing her, was ravished with her sight. The alabaster covering of her face, the coral colour of her two lips and grains, her beamy eyes, two suns of this our world, of her fair hair, the fine and flaming gold, her brave straight stature, and her winning parts, and nothing else but fires, fetters, darts. Yet this is nothing, the chanting skills of her celestial spirit, her training speech, her grace, her majesty, and forcing voice, whether it be with fingers spread speech consort, or hearing sceptres kings, ambassadors answer, each in his own language make. Yet now at need, aids her not at all, with all these beauties, so her sorrow sings. Darkened with woe, her only study is to weep, to sigh, to seek for loneliness. Careless of all, her hair disordered hangs, her charming eyes, whence murdering looks did fly. Now rivers groan, whose wellspring anguish is to trickling wash the marble of her face. Her fair discovered breast, with sobbing swollen, self-cruel she martyreth with blows. Alas, it's our ill hap, for with her tears she would convert into her loving charms to make a conquest of the conqueror. As well she might, would her force employ. She should us safety from thence these ills procure. Her crown, her crown to her, and so her race assure. Unhappy he, in whom self succour lies, yet self's forsaken want to succour dies. She's trying to talk her into using her charms to go for Caesar.
Well, I think it's lamenting the fact that she won't do it, because, you know, she's on her own now, everybody else has left, and she's just basically recapping what's happened in the scene, by and large. You know, she was this great, wonderful queen, she was amazing, and now it's all going rather badly. It's interesting when you've got that. It's a really weird phrasing.
I mean, she's really pushing, isn't she? She says, look at your eyes, look who you've talked to, who you've persuaded, who you've charmed. So the first part, she's really pushing her to consider this, and then she's given up, hasn't she? And she's saying, oh, well, she's ruined it. Look at the mess she's made of herself.
Mm. And, you know, there's a weird line in the middle of it, which I'm not quite sure. I think that's just unfortunate phrasing. You know, when describing how wonderful she was, you know, alabaster covering of her face, which is this constant refer, that's an interesting thing we keep going back to. Her brave state, straight stature, and her winning parts. I know there's a modern connotation that's coming across there, and it's just I'm not sure what that's supposed to originally have meant. Is that her accomplishments?
Could be. If she's got a lovely straight stature, she may have. She may employ her body with grace, gestures. I mean, they're suggesting that all the languages she can communicate in, and her speech, maybe she delivers them with not just words, but with grace.
Because it's that thing, this is what she looked like before, and now she's fallen to this, you know, her hair disordered hangs. So it's all about, again, it's all visual. It's where we can't really say it's desperately woke, because, you know, it's all about the appearance of Cleopatra falling to distraction. It's quite a good speech, but it's got absolutely no individual character. You know, Diomed could be easily doubled with Charmian or Eros happily. I think I could just happily give that to one of the other actors.
She could. I mean, the only difference is that she... The others are just slavishly trying to either to dissuade her to do away with herself or think of the children, whereas this one is more standing outside and summing up what she could do and what state she's in now.
Well, I think the assumption here is that everybody has left for this speech, so she's alone. So she's effectively the argument's over.
She's pondering on it. Yeah.
So it's worrying about, wondering about, it's a closing of the act, or closing of the episode. I mean, there's a chorus speech afterwards, but that'll probably get trimmed right down. But no, I think that's quite affecting and effective. And I think we can happily give that to somebody else. So
and finally, back to Alan Scott with the chorus, following on in real time from reading the two previous chorus sections, so we may refer to last time.
Anyway, end of Act 2. So we have a Cleopatra being sad scene with her handmaidens, which then is followed by an Antony scene. So let us have a look at this one, really. This one seems much more talking about themselves in a much more active sense. I could be wrong. Or at least the land in which they live.
O sweet, fertile land wherein Phoebus did with breath inspire.
Third mention of Phoebus. So
man who men did first begin, formed first of Nile's mire.
I've got Nilus.
Yeah,
it's so I think that there is deliberately down as Nihilus. I think that's a choice.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just start that one from the top.
Okay. O sweet fertile land wherein Phoebus did with breath inspire, Man whom men did first begin, formed first of Nihilus' mire. Whence of arts the eldest kind, earth's most heavenly ornament, were as from their fountain sent, to enlight our misty minds, whose gross sprite from endless time, as in darkened prison pent, never did to knowledge climb. Where the Nile, our father god, good, father-like doth never miss, yearly us to bring such food as to life required is, visiting each year this plain, and with fat slime covering it, which his seven mouths do spit, as the season comes again, making thereby greatest grow, busy reapers joyful pain, when his floods do highest flow. Wandering prince of rivers thou, honour of the Ethiop's land, of a lord and master now, thou as slave in awe must stand. Now of Tiber, which is spread, less in force and less in fame, reverence thou must the name, whom all other rivers dread, for his children swollen in pride, who by conquest seek to tread around this earth on every side. Now thou must begin to send tribute of thy watery store, as sea paths thy steps shall bend, yearly presents more and more. Thy fat scum, our fruitful corn, piled from hence with thievish hands, all unclothed shall leave our lands into foreign country borne, which puffed up with such a prey shall thereby the praise adorn of that sceptre Rome doth sway.
So we've got about halfway through, and finally this paean to O great Nile. It's getting to that point of we're under the foot of the Roman boot.
Well, I mean, effectively what you've got is the first two stanzas are straight Egyptian Nile is the important.
Yes.
And interestingly, I think in...
Then it gets compared with Tiber in the next.
Yeah, but the other interesting one, I think in Egyptian mythology, Nile is seen more as a mother goddess than as a father goddess.
Mm. But there's an interesting confusion here. So Phoebus is treated a bit like Ra.
The sun god.
Yeah, so it's this sort of blurring of things. It's quite accurate, but it's also quite weird, you know, fat slime covering it. Yes, the silt is brought in.
Yeah.
But it's calling it a mire and things like that. And it's those interesting descriptions of
it's good descriptive writing, actually.
It's painting a very clear picture of how the Nile functions, and it's accurate.
Yeah, and then from the third stanza, we've effectively got, now we're under the Roman boot.
Yes, and it's the comparison of the Tiber versus the Nile.
Yeah, well,
the Tiber, which isn't as good.
no, but I mean, it's effectively similar almost to the 19th century attitude of the Thames is the father of all rivers.
Yeah.
You know, it is the river through the imperial city and therefore is the most important in the world.
Mm. Okay, so we've gone from Nile, fabulous, under the oppression of Tiber, Rome. Let's see where this goes, because it does seem to have a narrative thread to this one.
Yes, I mean,
the other one was just more general.
This is certainly developing some thoughts rather than just general whinging, isn't it? Naught thee helps thy horns to hide far from hence in unknown grounds. They thy waters wander wide, yearly breaking banks and bounds. And that thy sky-coloured brooks through 100 people pass, drawing plots for trees and grass, with 1,000 turns and crooks, whom all weary of their way, thy throats which in wideness pass. Naught thee helps thy horns to hide, afar from hence in unknown grounds, they thy waters wander wide, yearly breaking banks and bounds, and that thy sky-coloured brooks through 100 people pass, drawing plots for trees and grass, with 1,000 turns and crooks, whom all weary of their way, thy throats which in wideness pass, pour into their mother sea. Naught so happy, hapless life, in this world as freedom finds, naught wherein more sparks are rife to inflame courageous minds. But if force must us enforce, needs a yoke to undergo, under a foreign yoke to go, still it proves a bondage worse, and doubled subjection. See we shall, and feel, and know, subject to a stranger grown. From henceforward for a king, whose first being from this place should his breast by nature bring care of a country to embrace, we at surly face must quake of some Roman madly bent, who our terror to augment his proconsul's axe will shake, driving with our kings from hence our established government, justice, sword, and law's defence.
I'm going to pause there because we have three interesting stanzas. Naught thee helps thy horns to hide. I'm not really sure what that stanza is doing. Because it sort of goes back to the greatness of the Nile. But I don't really know what it's saying.
I think it's almost a riff on this. Nile is great.
Yeah.
Which is where the previous set, where this one began.
Yeah.
And then it's basically what we've got almost is a pattern of three or four stanzas. The first one or two of which are basically saying Nile's great, we're ancient, and we've now been taken over.
Yeah, but I this is the problem, is it doesn't quite follow the pattern, because we had two stanzas on the Nile, two stanzas on Roman
domination.
Tiber dominating. Then we've got this random stanza that I don't really know what it says, apart from some stuff. Then we go to freedom from the over people. Tyrants have sway over our lives. And that feels like we've got this sort of marking water stanza that I don't really know what it says. The river doesn't help us to hide. Is that what it's saying? That it's great, but the river isn't going to do anything apart from just flow past us. Is that what it's saying? Is it sort of old man river? The river's just going to keep going. We're the ones who are
just keep rolling along.
It's not as all the other stanzas I've got and gone yes.
But that one's what?
It just didn't. And I'm looking at it and I'm sort of thinking, yeah, maybe that's what it's saying, but it's asking to be cut. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
It just feels weird.
I think it's weird, but I think his weirdness is part of it.
Yeah, but the thought follows on from the previous stanza. So if we'd gone from which puffed up with such praise shall thereby the praise adorn of that sceptre Rome doth sway, into naught so happy hapless life in this world as freedom finds, that thought seems to follow on logically. We've got a progression of thought.
Yeah, this does seem to be an interloper.
I may be overstating it.
I think it probably that's one you may find if you go back to the original French text.
There's something clearer. That's not here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering whether, you know, there's almost a repeated verse or something that. I can see where you're coming from on that.
I sort of think it does make sense, and it does that. In the sense, I think it's, yes, the river, you know, does not hide us from the world around us, you know. And there's almost a throat-slitting element to that final bit, you know, thy throats pour into their mother's sea.
It doesn't actually advance the argument, but it's a nice bit of verse in its own
right. Yes. I mean, that's you know, it's until one does more work and gets someone to try and act it in a way which we're not really trying to do now.
No.
Anyway, let's look at the last four stanzas. We've got to the tyrant figure. I like some of this stuff. His proconsul's axe will shake, which I'm not sure if is pathetic or not. It feels a little.
I'm just trying to remember whether the emblem of the proconsul were the faces.
Let's have a little look. There's a footnote on this one, so let's see if the this edition has anything useful to say. Oh, you're absolutely right. So, it's...
I knew my trip to Pompeii years ago was would come in useful. Yeah. No, I mean it's
a good bit of classical learning. And you know, I just liked it as a line, but it sort of didn't quite land right. It feels a bit almost.
But
funny.
No, I mean,
it's accurate.
It makes sense, and in fact, when I did the Southern Italy trip, which is a decade more ago, we actually went to Brindisi, and juxtaposed with the Roman remains, you've got an enormous monument built by Mussolini with the faces on it, effectively.
Okay, let's finish this and then we'll, right. I think, have a little break it.
I think that sounds like a good idea. Nothing worldly of such might, but more mighty destiny, by swift time's unbridled flight, makes an end his end to see. Everything time o'erthrows, nought to end doth steadfast stay. His great scythe moweth all away, as the stalk of tender rose. Only immortality of the heavens doth it oppose against his powerful deity. One day they will come a day, which shall quell thy fortune's flower, and thee ruined low shall lay in some barbarous prince's power. When the pity-wanting fire shall, O Rome, thy beauties burn, and to humble ashes turn thy proud wealth and rich attire. Those gilt roofs which turret-wise, justly making envy mourn, threaten now to pierce skies. As thy forces fill each land, harvest making here and there, reaping all with ravening hand, they find growing anywhere. From each land, so to thy fall, multitudes repair shall make, from the common spoils take, what to each man's share may fall, fingered all thou shalt behold, no jot left for token's sake, that thou wert so great of old.
I've got jot there in the original. I've got iota.
Okay, well, you've got I-O-T-E. They are actually the same word. Jot is the anglicisation of iota.
Yeah. I think.
Does iota work better with the scansion?
Fingered all thou shalt behold, no iota left for token's sake. No jot left for token's sake. Jot does seem to flow better, doesn't it?
It flows better, and also, I think it fits better because this is actually quite an... Starting from the one day there will come a day, it's basically, look, Romans, look to yourselves, because sooner or later some bugger's going to have you. And therefore it's a lot of these ones, and jot is a more aggressive word than iota.
It does scan better, doesn't it? It does scan better.
Yeah,
and we're going with jot. No jot left for token's sake. No iota left. It's just got it's got too many. You've got to turn too many angles.
You know, and the thing is that you're looking at, or the way I see it, you're actually got quite an aggressive speech here.
Oh yeah, no, this is. I'm really liking this part. You know, this speech is going down my. It's prophecy. Rome, you're in ascendance now, but one day you will burn. And, of course, the advantage of history is
we know it.
It will burn.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah, so it's this thing of ravening hand, ripping everything out. So let's just finish the final stanza, which links it to Troy and the very logical endpoint. I'm really liking this whole chorus speech. I'm absolutely loving
it. Yeah, I mean, it's a good piece of writing, even if you haven't got the play that goes around it.
Yeah.
Like unto the ancient Troy, whence derived thy founders be, conquering foe shall thee enjoy, and a burning prey in thee. For within this turning ball, this we see, and see each day, all things fixed ends do stay, ends to first beginnings fall, and that naught, how strong or strange, changeless doth endure alway, but endureth fatal change.
Because the other thing it says is not just obviously by hating Rome as it obviously does, and talking about one day Rome will be pillaged and burned, is of course it's saying at this moment in time that is literally happening to us and our people now.
Yeah.
So it's painting a picture of the now as well.
As to us, so to the in future.
Yeah. And so, again, it creates an energy and a sense of what's happening around the rarefied court scenes of Cleopatra, which we've just had. So it punctuates that. I say rarefied, I don't know that it is rarefied. I think that's actually probably unfair. So you get a sense of flow from the initial despair of the army's coming, we're going to be put underfoot in the previous chorus sequence, for this, which is... they're here, we are under the tyrant's boot, but one day they'll get their, we'll get our revenge.
Mm.
Time will work our revenge for us, which I really like. That's a keeper. That's a keeper.
Yeah, I don't think that one works.
Because it has a narrative flow. I mean, the problem with the first two choruses is... I think they're good in context, but they're not really exciting speeches.
I think it would only be if we actually did the...
You need to do full staging, dancing, singing, what I was thinking is
the speech that you're saying punctuates the middle of that.
Mm.
Because what you've effectively got is almost a prologue to Philostratus.
A context for Philostratus.
Yeah.
And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if doing it that you wouldn't actually mix it up a bit, so that the chorus almost can, you use some of the chorus material to almost talk back
rhubarb
break it up a bit, and I think that would be
quite
exciting. Anyway, let us take a break.
I think so. We've covered a hell of a lot.
And that was the text of Act 2 as part of our prep for the proper recording. There may be time to throw in your two cents if you have any thoughts about it, and we might change our approach for the final version. Or not. Send thoughts, suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either to our patron page by joining us, or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes, or you can email us at admin@beyondshakespeare.org. More from The Tragedy of Antony, Act 3, coming soon.